Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
If you want to make a run in the playoffs, you got to beat every team anyways. So, you know, the situation is what it is. And I think the worst thing is going to happen to us. We're going to lose the locker room and our practice ring. So that's about it. I really don't care where we finish. I think we just have to focus on our game and try to improve that coming Sunday and then going to next week. But, you know, yeah, you got to beat anybody anyways. So.
All right, maybe that's why they're playing with the way they're playing right now without an awful lot of passion.
You say when you lose.
Yeah.
And you're not ready
to play. That's true. That's true. You can justify it. Before we get to it, because, Christian, I'm not trying to delay, and Mike Reese has done it to you, and I'm going to do it to you right now. I don't want to delay.
Sorry.
Your big take on this one. But we do have to mention this because it's opt-out day. And, by the way, happy opt-out day to both of you guys. It is opt-out day.
Thinking of opting out.
We're an hour in.
Somebody's opting out for tomorrow, so I'm not going to say who.
We're an hour and 3 minutes away. So KJR, which is sports radio in Seattle, 950, tweeted this out. Obviously, they had Mike Garofolo of NFL Network on their program, and they quoted this out, a quote from him on their show. Devin McCourty is opting out. Tre'Davious White is leaning towards opting out in the last hour and a half. We'll see who else opts out. Now, we throw that out there, but Garofolo has just responded because he didn't do it on the NFL Network. He didn't tweet it out. He responded, replied to this radio station, and his reply is, what? These are not my words.
So, yeah, but then he did follow up and say, I discussed those guys and said it's clear that both are considering, but the actual quotes are not reflective of what I said at all.
Right.
So they're both considering.
Well, I mean, in this tweet,
saying that though.
Tweet, they quoted him saying, "quote
Devin McCourty is opting out.
Tre'Davious White is leaning towards opting out." I mean, end quote. So
Garofolo's telling you that that's not.
But they took the tweet down. So whatever
they deleted their tweet.
This radio station in.
Media 2020, unbelievable.
Seattle. Yeah, they took it down.
There you go. Okay.
And just don't believe the hype.
So they went, So somebody got anxious and said, oh my God, Mike Garofolo just said that Devin McCourty is opting out. He threw it out on their Twitter account. And then somebody said, oh, wait a minute. He didn't exactly say that. You know, he said, we just wanted to let you know because you're probably seeing some of it out there on social media that Devin McCourty is opting out according to an NFL Network guy. That is not the case. He did not say that. I apologize again to you, Christian.
That's
I've been very cruel to you. So we talked about and we'll start with the Bruins and we'll get to the Celtics as well because I think we all have issues the way they're playing as well. So the Bruins are giving very little effort in this thing. A little bit in the third period, I would say yesterday, maybe a little bit in the second period. I watched a lot of that. Certainly fell behind early, totally outplayed in the first period. So you tell me, is this a problem going into the playoffs? Because they're dropping down to a 3 or 4 seed.
Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, so this is just proof that the other teams handled COVID better than they did. The other teams that they played so far hasn't been a big sample. I get it, but doesn't matter. It is what it is. Everybody's dealing with the same set of circumstances, the same layoff, the same set of rules, and they're playing on the same ice. So you can't give me any excuses. And I actually chuckled when I heard Tuukka Rask with his comments because in the end, what does it really matter? I mean, so you lose, big deal. I'm not affected. So what? We changed locker rooms. It's not like we gave up home ice in Boston. It's not like, because that's valuable. That's worth something. What we're doing right now is bull crap. But I say they're playing with fire. I say they're taunting something that they don't want to mess with.
Can they flip the switch?
I think the whole flipping the switch is a rumor. I don't think it's real. I don't think teams have the ability to flip a switch. So you went into the pandemic, into the quarantine as the best team in hockey. You come back in it and what happened? Like you're not anymore. And to me, that's a problem. Like, you tell me Tampa, you know, sure they're bigger and they're deeper, whatever. But the fact is, you should be able to compete. It should mean something to you. Like, giving up the seeding and just losing it after earning it, you can't just say sour grapes, you know, because that's what Tuukka Rask sounds like to me. Sour grapes. You know, that's not worth it. It's not really that good, anyways. What do we care? He's downplaying the significance of it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And again, this is, like, I don't think Tampa's saying that. They've won them both. How important is number one seed? Well, yeah, it's good to get. I mean, yeah, that's why we're playing these games, right? We're playing these games to win. And this was the concern when they started talking about this format, in that, you know, you're going to be playing these best of five series, and so you've got other teams that are playing in these things. Toronto's out there playing Columbus, right? And that series is what? Is that thing tied? I don't even know what it is. Yeah, tied 1-1. So, and then Montreal's up 2-1 in Toronto. Carolina's already won. So do you think they're playing with more intensity? You think those teams that are in an actual series, best of five, are playing with more fire, more intensity? So the Bruins are still, they're pretending that they're treating this little play-in thing as practice because they've lost both games and they've looked like crap. So we're going to just flip the switch? Because you're going to be, by the way, you're going to be playing a team that just won a series.
Yeah,
that just battled through four games or five games or swept somebody who's playing really good hockey right now. And you're sitting there saying, eh, whatever. We're just trying to get these lines straightened out and, you know, whatever. It's my first game. I felt pretty good. It's a preseason game. I'm not worried about it. I don't think you can flip that switch. No, I think you can see a lot of upsets in that first round.
You know, that's an excellent point. I totally forgot about it because you have one team that's already kind of been through a battle, right? They're considered COVID vets, really.
Well, their life and death situation. So if you lose, you're out, those other teams.
Yeah.
In this case, the Bruins, even if they lose, think about this. If you can lose and you're still fine, you can move on to the next round. How much incentive are you going to show? Here's the problem I see. That you could look at Tampa Bay and say, they're as good as the Bruins, if not better. You can look at the Washington Capitals, say, they're as good as the Bruins, if not better. Flyers were one of the hot teams when we closed out the regular season a while back.
They still are.
Right. And so you can look at it and say, why are those teams trying so hard if it doesn't mean anything? Why are the Bruins looking at this? Are they pissed off because they had the number one seed and the league said, screw you, we're gonna have a little tournament to see who's the real number one.
That game yesterday, you know, you're right, because you got to look at the first period. One team was ready to play a game and the other team wasn't.
Right.
And then once that game was tied, I don't know, you're watching that game the last 5 minutes. Did anyone feel like the Tampa Bay wasn't going to score?
No.
All of a sudden, the last 4 or 5 minutes, they showed up. Just like they did in the first period. And they're like, okay, listen, we're the better team. Well, we want this game apparently more. Let's just take and get this thing over with and win two games and be sitting up there with 4 points and be styling. They wanted it more than you did. So now you've got, again, you could be the fourth seed. That fifth seed is Pittsburgh, who's losing to Montreal, 2-1. They come back and win a game four. They come back and win a game five. I mean, a five-game series, high intensity. You know, there could be some injuries. We'll see. But they're a lot more prepared to play in another series versus you than you are versus them.
Yeah, and how about last year with Tampa? Tampa was the number one team. They get bounced in the first round.
Number one team. They had the all-time best record, and they never won a playoff game.
And it's funny because I remember that first game of the first period of that first game of that first series. Who was it? Was it Ottawa? I can't remember who it was who ended up beating them.
Columbus.
Yeah. And they looked great and ended up losing. Scoring goals left and right.
Oh, they're up 3-0 the first game, weren't they?
Yeah, and then that was it. So, you know, you can easily look at other teams and say, that's an example of what it smells like to me.
This is
Lou.
The reason why, you know, I'm more concerned about the Bruins than the Celtics. And I wasn't happy about what we saw two nights ago for the Celtics. And last night's game was, okay. You know, you finally woke up there in the second, third, fourth, whatever. You finished them off. But still, the Celtics, when you get to the NBA Finals, it's still about your star players. You know what I mean? And, you know, if your star players show up, you should beat some teams. They should be okay in the playoffs. The Bruins, not necessarily about that.
No, it's about the emotion of the entire team.
Yeah, it's about just urgency and team playing together and team getting hot, you know, and the Bruins possibly finding, you know, the second line scoring, even though the first line, I think, has given up 7 goals so far in just 2 games. So it's just... It's like, is your first line playing any defense? Because they're supposed to be the everything line. You know, the second line, Krejci's sitting there saying, spin the wheel again. Who the hell else is playing with me? I have no clue because DeBrusque sucks. So I'm tired of watching the Bruins and saying your fourth line is the best line you got. You can't roll into the playoffs in hockey and just think you have more talent and win. It doesn't work like that. It works in the NBA sometimes. But it certainly doesn't help work in this one.
Yeah, I think when you talk about who you're most concerned with, the Bruins you've got to be concerned with because they were the best team in the league.
Higher expectations for them.
Exactly. They were a legitimate cup contender. The Celtics are not a legitimate NBA championship contender. I'm sorry. Even the most ardent green teamer out there has to admit that. Maybe the ceiling here is to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And, you know, but even last night, the first period, the first quarter, was anybody impressed with what you saw? Brian Scalabrine, late in that first quarter, said, I'm not happy with what I'm seeing. I expected after what happened last night, they would come out with some urgency, some fire, and play great. They weren't doing it against a young team that has injuries and a team, by the way, that beat the Bucks the night before because the Bucks didn't play half their guys. They got a big win against a great team. They are already satisfied.
I always, fat and happy. Yeah, this whole, you know, there couldn't have been a more predictable outcome.
We said it yesterday.
Yeah, there could not have been a more predictable outcome. Here go the Nets, they beat the Bucks, and here come the Celtics coming off. That is like basketball playoff mentality 101. I mean, it's easy. You make a lot of money that way. So you knew the Nets weren't going to show up, and you knew that the Celtics would.
Yeah, but the key players in the game at times were Romeo Langford and Rob Williams. Yeah. And I see all these Celtic green teamers are sitting.
What time you played Robert Williams?
Yeah, we saw the real Rob Williams last night.
But what does it mean, Glenn?
It means nothing.
I don't have that big of an issue about the Celtics last night. I thought it was fine.
No, see,
I mean, they had no Kemba Walker, and I thought, like you said, I was glad to see him decide to play Robert Williams. You know, and you can sit there and say, I was against the Nets. Whatever.
We play him Friday.
Well, hopefully. I mean, how would you feel if he didn't play last night? How if he still sat his ass on the bench? I mean, don't they need this guy? You're talking about interior defense and just some energy there as a big.
No, he's playing up against another young center in Allen. I think what Brad's doing is playing though, right? Right. So what Brad's doing though is he's looking and saying, I can bring Langford in. And by the way, Tatum got himself into foul trouble early in that game last night. So he can bring in Langford. He can bring in Rob Williams because he doesn't have to worry. They're playing a Nets team. A Nets team that's not going to play that great perimeter defense, not stifling you. Now, Friday, you got to play against Toronto. The Raptors are three levels, four levels, five levels up here defensively. I'm not sure he's going to play Rob Williams in that game. Or if he plays him, he's not going to play him much. I'm not sure you're going to see much of Langford in Friday's game. He played those guys. He played the bench. Everybody loves the bench. He played the bench last night because they were playing against a weak team.
I don't know. I think your boy Perk, he disagrees. He said it's all about Robert Williams.
Hey, listen. Let him out the cage. He's ready. Listen, watching Robert Williams tonight was just a beautiful thing to see. As a former big man, he got his opportunity and he took full advantage of it. And this is what the Celtics has been missing. A lob threat guy, an athletic big that runs the floor, protects the paint. He does it all. And he brings that tenacity and that energy. If I'm Brad Stevens, these next games before the playoffs, I'm playing him a ton of minutes because I'm telling you right now, he is going to win. He's going to be a major factor during this playoff run for the Boston Celtics.
Okay, is the most foolish thing I've ever heard.
Why?
Because if that were the case, why wouldn't Brad Stevens have played him before he played a weak team? Well, why wouldn't he play him against a pretty good team?
Well,
he got 0 minutes.
It was, we talked about it the other day, it was a mistake, right? Like, I think it was a mistake. One of my biggest gripes from the other night, other than how he handled Marcus Smart in the foul situation, was Robert Williams played 13 minutes and brought him in there just to foul guys. Three fouls.
Hey, listen. Let him out the cage.
I mean, you
He's
of all...
ready. Listen.
You of all people, you talk about interior defense. You know, just getting somebody that's a little bit more athletic.
Well, he's a shot blocker. I don't think he's a real good one-on-one defensive player.
Interior defense is, okay, shot blocker. He's a shot blocker. Guys take it to the hole. You don't have to worry about anybody. Okay, Robert Williams is in there. You're the one that should want him in there.
No, but I think
maybe
there's
he didn't
a reason.
Play because there's a mistake.
But there's a reason that Brad Stevens hasn't played.
Do you want to see Robert Williams play more?
Nah, if he's good, but I'm not sure he can play against the team he's going to play against Friday night.
I want everyone who's going to play good to play more.
Do you think he's... I want to see him against the team on Friday night. We'll see how he plays. What do you think he does if he goes up against that team on Friday night? The Toronto Raptors.
For 15 minutes? I'm totally fine with it.
No, I'd like to see him play. I'd like to see him as part of the rotation. But what Brad Stevens has told you to this point is, I don't trust him. I don't know what Perk's talking about. The coach is basically telling him, when a guy doesn't play against good teams and good big men And suddenly you look at a game and you say, oh, this is a game I think we could stick him in and get him a little practice.
All right, well, whatever. You got 4 games left. I mean, this is what we're treating it like anyways, aren't we? I mean, aren't we just sort of trying to get ready for the postseason? So why wouldn't you do it right now and just try to see if for 4 games, if you can get him playing a little more consistent? He made mistakes last night that he has in the past, but Brad stuck with him. Yeah. And because of that, he benefited from
Could stick with him because you were hitting threes. You got 60 points on threes in that game, and you didn't have to worry about him. You could keep him in the game.
It'll cost you Friday night. You're worried about interior defense, and you still don't want him to play Robert Williams at all.
Yeah, because I don't think he's a really good one-on-one defensive player. I told you he's a shot blocker. That's what he is, mm-hmm. but he's not a good one-on-one player. So
yeah, but you said the other day, guys would take it to the basket with a guy that can block shots, so why wouldn't you want him in there?
Well, let's see what he does. Let's see if they put him against good teams. I think he got playing time last night. Same thing with Romeo Langford, because you were playing against the team in which Brad said, there's no question, we're winning this game. We don't have to worry. Friday against Toronto, let's see if he has the guts to say, you know what? I'm going to stay with Rob Williams. I'm going to let him play. I'm not buying on. I think he might play a little bit. I think he gets limited playing time on Friday. I do. Do the Patriots need to create their own bubble if we actually want to have a full NFL season? There are a couple of teams now that are doing it. Is it going to work? Somebody thinks it will. I'm not buying it. We get to it coming up next.
Mudded Night, weeknight 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
You can save 30% off MyPillow's mattress topper, promo code WEEI. Visit MyPillow.com. Click on Radio Listener Specials. You can save on the mattress topper, MyPillow sheets, and more with promo code WEEI.
Well, guys, we are inside 1 hour until the NFL's opt-out deadline. For the 2020 season coming up at 4 p.m., ESPN's Mike Reese told us that basically the only way to get out of this after the deadline is by retiring. Ooh. So it's now or never for these guys inside 1 hour until deadline.
It's a big-time decision, man. You guys feel it? I feel the excitement. Do you feel it?
I do.
I love opt-out day.
I feel it.
I love opt-out. I think they should have this a version of this every year.
This is about as exciting as the NFL trade deadline.
Which is a lot better than the Major League Baseball's trade deadline.
Not really.
Which doesn't exist.
Thank you.
What?
There you go. There's our next segment.
It's the only trade deadline that really actually see something.
Yeah.
The Red Sox, Celtics, and Bruins all with a night off. The Sox begin a 3-game series tomorrow at Fenway against the Toronto Blue Jays. Coverage begins at 6:30 tomorrow night in the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Celtics and Raptors meet tomorrow night in Orlando, and the Bruins are off until Sunday with the final round robin game against the Washington Capitals. In round one of the PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, Scottie Scheffler, the clubhouse leader, at 4 under par. Many guys still on the course at under par right now. Tiger Woods 1 under through 12 holes in San Francisco. I'm Tyler Devitt, and that's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
Hi, back here in OMF. You probably heard this week that, the NFL's not playing in a bubble. They're doing something very similar to Major League Baseball. So far, the bubble approach has worked. NBA has had nobody other than the Lou Williams thing. We'll get to that later on in the show. But other than them, guys have stayed within the bubble and everything has worked. NHL, we have the same thing. But the NFL is going to be dealing with guys who are coming and going. So what Sean Payton thought he would do is he would put together a bubble situation or a semi-bubble where he has the guys stay at a hotel during the course of the week. He explains it.
Basically, every day, those 170 go home and then come back the next day. So you have 170 stories each day. And so you might be, like we were to start, pretty much clean by our players, and yet every day is a new day. And then you take that and you times it by 7, and then you take that and times it, by 4 weeks and a month, and then do the season. And look, statistically speaking, they're going to be, so it's really about trying to reduce the possible exposures, not eliminate, because, like I said, it's not mandatory.
Divide by 6, multiply by 10, and then you come up with
36% of the time, 95.
Exactly, you come up with the equation. It won't work. It won't work.
Why won't it?
It won't work because he just said it. So if you can get 170 guys to say to their wives, their kids, family, got to stay home. Daddy's got to go to work, and we're working under much different conditions. And so the coach is telling us that all of us, including staff, 170 people, must stay in the hotel and must stay away from everybody else so that we can maintain safety throughout the entire ranks. If you do that, it'll work. But the problem is, it's optional. And so once you leave it optional and there's no, I have to stay within the bubble, which is what they do in Orlando. They have security people. They have cameras set up. Okay. So the guys can't leave. And if they do, they know they left. They're not going to do any of that. All you need is one guy to breach it, go to the outside world, pick it up and bring it right back into the bubble. It
See,
won't work.
But, okay. So I agree with you on that point. But my thing is, so sure enough, okay, we first report that, okay, the New Orleans Saints are going to create a bubble. And then I thought that more teams would sit there and create a bubble, like Tampa Bay Bucks are doing something similar. The reality is more teams are going to do this. It's going to start off as optional. I believe the players and the NFL overall will say, listen, we need to just do this full time. Like, we can't do it. There's too many issues. It's too risky. Everyone needs to say goodbye to their loved ones. Tell them that you'll see them in a couple months. Or if the families want to be part of the bubble and be part of the experience and do their homeschooling or their Zoom meetings with their teachers, then they are going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks, and then they will be allowed to kind of enter the Patriot Place bubble, is what I'm calling it.
So I would agree. I think that
you got two hotels over there. They can do it.
I would think you can't have a bubble. You know, like if you've got, 53 man roster and you got 15 people not living in a bubble, right? Then you're done. You're not in a bubble.
It defeats the purpose of having
now, those 15 guys. The other guys are doing their job, but the other 15 come in and they're like, hey, what's up? Yeah, I've been hanging out. Yeah, I went down Boylston Street, did some shopping. You know what I mean? So
got some tea.
So now it's like the NBA. It's like we got a bubble. We can't have it brought into the bubble. So, yeah, it's either all or nothing.
We start with baseball. You know, and guys drifted off. They brought it back in, and then it became a problem for two teams.
You mentioned
Tampa Bay, Christian,
yeah.
And Bruce Arians is doing the exact same thing, and he talked about it.
We have a hotel sequestered now. You know, we can't force the guys to go, so it's up to them. We have some veterans over there who do live in town because they know how safe it'll be. We'll obviously stay there the night before home games, like we always have. We talked about having a commitment to each other, and it only takes one to sink the ship. I think it'll be easier to handle, although we'll still have 69 guys this year, once we keep going after the cuts. So it's going to be a little bit harder, but it's going to take a hell of a commitment from everybody.
He just said it just takes one to sink the ship. Anybody think Tom Brady is staying in a hotel, or do you think he's staying with Giselle and the kids?
Yeah, but he's different.
On the
drinks
water.
A lot of water. I will say this, see, the NFL is different than Major League Baseball, and you heard it there with Bruce Arians. You know, talking about it, we all have to commit to each other. And I'm sure, all the managers said that, but I just don't think it comes. Just by the way a football player is developed from Pop Warner to high school to college, it's this military-esque, God-fearing mentality, shame-based sport where if one guy lets go of the rope, you know, they're all affected by it because it's less individualized as basketball and baseball. So everybody relies on each other, and that's hammered into your head. I do think that it's almost like, hey, let's provide them this, and then they'll just realize that this is what's best for the team, and they'll all end up just doing it on their own because they won't realize.
You want one guy step outside? I mean, hell, 5 years ago, a Patriot player was naked in front of a police station praying on his knees.
Oh, he went the back door.
So, you know, I mean...
No way.
You're going to find a guy like that, just sort of losing his ever-loving mind?
I think that was drug-based. Okay. One.
Yeah.
So you don't think drugs are still involved in society?
But no, I do think, but I just think overall, I think if you look at it from a short-term basis, the good teams like Tampa, they'll do it. The good teams like Seattle, they'll do it. Kansas City, they'll do it. Or with a fear-based organization, and where your leader is Bill, you'll do it.
Can I give you the difference? Because you talked about the military aspect of it, and I hear what you're saying. There is some of that, because baseball is a lot different. These other sports are different than football. Maybe it's because of the larger rosters. I don't know. Here's the difference. The military guys are not making a $5, $10, $20, $30, $35 million with the lifestyle where they can take off and go wherever the hell they want, where somebody can pick them up in a limo where they can go out in the town or whatever and leave that hotel. The military people are living a different life.
I know, but the mentality is the same. The lifestyle and the paycheck is different, obviously, but the mentality is the same. The whole esprit de corps. That is part of a football player's makeup, whether you want to admit it or not. And there's always a guy that wants to do his own thing and whatever. But the good teams fall in line. The good teams. The crappy teams. Look at the crappy teams in baseball.
Well,
you just said it.
So Tampa Bay's a good team. Do you think Tom Brady is going to stay dormitory style in a hotel in Tampa when Giselle's out there with the kids on the coastal waterway?
But I don't think he's going out either.
Well, no, come on, really? Given what you've seen the last 2 months,
he was at an empty park.
Oh, he's violating the rules.
He held a practice with like 20 other teammates while there was a serious outbreak in his state.
All this, so his tight end got it. Big deal. So his tight end caught it.
But the whole state had it, and he still was running practices with 20 of his teammates.
You don't think
the mayor turned him in.
Christian, he couldn't even wear his mask from his car to the door of the training facility.
Because he has pliability, Lou.
I thought he was a military guy.
But normally he was just
falling
in line with all the other soldiers. He's Tom Brady. He's 43 years old. He's going to be the most responsible guy in our team. We don't have to worry about Tom. Meanwhile, this guy's running around town. Like, yeah. He's the guy holding practices.
He's the guy I'd worry about the most. Wouldn't you?
You know, the better I've eaten, the more hydrated I am, the better pliability treatments I get.
Not if you're hydrated.
He's selling something. Right? He's
Vitamin
selling it, perform and recover. It's like $49.95, but it's only last for like a few weeks or a month or whatever, something like that. So you think they have a chance of doing this and it works, right?
Yeah, Christian? I think they're going to have to do it. I think Major League Baseball is going to have to do it.
Well, I think differently when you're talking about the playoffs. I think you're right. I think you actually came up with something that was brilliant the other day. Then, of course, Jeff Passan and everybody
stole it,
right? But I think you're right. I think you're going to have to bubble those guys down, and you can do it for a short period of time. If we're talking a few rounds of the playoffs, we're talking a few weeks, a month.
So
you're talking about a whole season here with the NFL. Can't do it.
So same thing. So I guess apparently the Giants are doing the same thing. My man, Joe Judge. Special teams, wide receiver, corner, offensive line, and running back coach of the Patriots. But still, now the head coach of the Giants, he says they got a hotel too, apparently. They got multiple floors of a hotel right down the street, rented out for the players. Our coaches should they choose to stay there. But this is the kicker. You talk about you want to stay in a hotel, you want to stay alone. The ones that are in hotel have curfew. But we've expressed the ones outside that they have to make the right decisions when they're away from their building in terms of how they structure their nights. And he says it's not mandatory. So, you can stay in a hotel with curfew.
There's a catch. There's a catch to it.
Like, shouldn't they make it? I mean, I don't know. First off, if you're in the hotel in the bubble, what do you need the curfew for? Right? Because you're in the hotel. If you're in the hotel, aren't you the guy that's like, okay, I want to just stay in the hotel and not go out?
I feel like that's. I feel like
shouldn't the curfew be for like, people outside?
I feel like this is the Hotel California song by the Eagles. You know. You can check in, but you can never leave.
Because if you don't check in, then it's impossible to check out.
Tom Brady's going to sit there and say to you, you know what, guys, I get it. I'll stay home with Giselle and with the kids. I'm going to stay home. This whole idea of the honor system of guys that are going to do it, it's like putting a fat guy into a hotel room and, putting him on the honor system for the mini bar. Give me a break. You got no shot.
You
got to
strip that mini bar.
Exactly.
You got to strip it.
Been there, done that. Yep. We heard about a former Cam Newton teammate who was a little bit concerned about Cam meshing with Bill Belichick. How about this one? A former member of the Patriots staff and current national analyst. He agrees. Friend of the show. You'll hear it next. Hi, back here on OMF. We are now, we're about 20 minutes away.
Almost there.
Ooh, 24 minutes away.
It's exciting.
You can feel the tension, can't you?
I keep updating Twitter, too, and I'm just like, oh, my God. I need an opt-out. We have not one opt-out today. We got one guy that's like a backup lineman for the Tampa Bay Bucks, right?
Brad Seaton.
Guy doesn't even play.
He wasn't going to play anyway.
That's it?
He's just taking his money and running. That's
too much for opt-out date.
Well, if you were a team, you'd be pretty pissed off if you probably addressed it with the guys now for the last week and a half, and said, okay, if you're going to do it, let's sit down and have the conversation. Because if you're going to opt out and you give us a good reason, we get it. We understand it, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that Devin McCourty thing, that was an odd
really strange.
Release, because I don't think if he was going to opt out, he would have done it when Hightower and all those other guys did it.
It's amazing, though, and it does happen in sports talk radio. We've seen it before where somebody says something and people are not apparently listening to his exact words, and they think that he said, and we're talking about Mike Garofalo, who was quoted by a radio station in Seattle as saying that Devin McCourty, quote, Devin McCourty is opting out. Tre'Davious White is leaning towards opting out. And, of course, Garofalo came out and said, what? I never said that. That's not what I said. I said they were considering, which has been the story for the last week, okay, that everybody's had. And somebody working at that radio station decided, nah, I think he said it. I heard it.
And then they deleted it.
Yeah, then they deleted it, and they figured it wasn't good. So yesterday we talked a lot about Kyle Love, played here with the New England Patriots, played for quite a few years with Cam Newton down in Carolina. Seems to really like Cam, says, I love Cam. I want him to be successful. I want to see him win games. I want to see him win a championship. But also said, I don't feel like Cam can take the pressure of coaches talking down about his play. If he had a bad game in Carolina, the coaching staff wouldn't say much to him because they may have felt he could be a little frail about it or maybe pout. They never really corrected the point that Bill used to correct Tom. And you've talked about this before, Christian, where he would sit there, he would bring film in there, and he would basically ridicule the quarterback. Greatest player of all time, the GOAT. And, you know, guys liked it because if you're going to criticize me and you're criticizing the quarterback, I can't say anything because this guy's a great player. So our old buddy Chris Sims, who was a friend of the show here, along with Mike Florio, talked about the exact same thing on their show.
Kyle Love seems to think that Cam Newton was a little coddled by Ron Rivera and the Panthers coaches.
Yeah, well, I think that's the sentiment around the NFL, is that he was, you know, in Carolina. He was the first pick of the draft. He's super talented. You know, he won some games single-handedly, you know, with his pure ability. At most places, what that tends to lead to is a guy kind of becoming the king of that team, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, naturally from there, when you're one of your best players, coaches, the organization, they're very sensitive into making sure that player feels good on a daily basis. That's my biggest concern up in New England.
Hmm.
So the biggest concern is that he won't be able to deal with the criticism, the expectations. That's it, right? So it's the same thing everybody else has been saying, that Cam Newton is soft. I've played this out in my head multiple times, and you know, I see Cam Newton sitting in a meeting room, socially distancing, and I don't even know if the whole team will be there because I don't know if their meeting room has enough room.
We'll have plexiglass everyone has in between to, him and somebody.
Well,
else.
I mean, if everyone has to sit, you know, 6 feet away, yeah. How do they? I mean, they won't have enough seats for everybody once. So I don't even know that how that's going to work anymore.
So wait a minute. You're saying that the social distancing, the coronavirus may aid Cam Newton and that it will be
another
more
plus
difficult
for COVID-19.
More difficult for Bill to ridicule him in front of the entire team.
You know
team.
What, guys? I want to critique it, but I can't see him. It's like he's in another room. I got to Zoom him. Can someone bring him up on the Zoom? Yeah, so no,
listen,
I think he's going to laugh about it. I don't think this is going to, listen, it pisses everybody off. Let's like just make that clear. It pissed me off. It pissed everybody off that I was, because he challenges you. He calls you out. And then the worst thing about it, you're never allowed to explain yourself, right? So the play comes up, you know, you can't sit there. Usually your position coach would be like, what happened? You're like, well, I was late. I couldn't hear. So I was late. My feet got tangled up and then I got twisted and I got beat. You can't do that. You can't say that. You don't have an opportunity to respond. It's not a back and forth.
So let me ask you. So you guys, you ever had guys on your team that just didn't react well to that at all?
Oh yeah, sure.
So how did Bill continue to treat him?
Nothing changed.
He just kept calling him out.
Oh yeah, you don't stop. You almost do it more because you're waiting for them to kind of man up and take it. Or you know, the other time what guys will do is if they can't take it, Bill will say, not to use any names, or you know, was say, hey, okay, well, let's come on one-on-one, let's watch film. You have a problem with the way I'm coaching, you have a problem, okay, let's watch film. He puts the film on, and that's even worse because the
one-on-one session.
And now there is a back and forth, and you're forced to explain yourself, and you can't do it because he's already got the answers. He's already his. Well, you were told this. Well, why'd you do that? Well, I saw this. Well, why did you look for that? Because we told you to do this. And then you just end up, now you can't leave. Now you can't get out of there.
Now you just can't leave.
Yeah, now you can't say, okay, forget it. You got to sit there and take it. And it's just a beating. So I do think he's going to get pissed. I think there's going to be lots of opportunities for him to make an example out of Cam Newton.
Yes. And I agree.
Oh, there will be. I just think it's all overblown. I don't think he's going to have a problem with it. I think he'll deal with it. I think he already kind of knows that it's coming. I don't think the contract's an issue. I don't think anything is an issue. I know we're all so concerned with how this is going to work.
I will never forget the look on their faces.
I would say this. The first thing we heard from Cam Newton when he talked about getting that call from the New England Patriots was, and he admitted it, how am I going to work with Bill Belichick?
That was a throwaway line in a discussion.
Okay, well, why would you say that if it wasn't in play? So, but what I've heard last night, and maybe it's because people just want to go along with the program, and we want to love the laundry and be loyal to the laundry. Oh, no, it's not going to be a problem because Bill's going to change because Bill knows he's got to treat this guy differently. That is the biggest hogwash of them all. Bill's not changing for anybody. Tom Brady had difficulty in the last year or two because he wanted more respect. He wanted to be treated more as the superstar. We spent how many days talking, doing shows about that, where Giselle was on record as saying it. And in Tom versus Time. And Bill would not give in. Bill's not giving in. So this is a matter of, you're right, Cam Newton's going to have to deal with it. And the question is he now at a point in his career, at his age, where he can sit there and say, okay, I'm in the position I'm in. I got to take this bleep from this guy. I got to do it, and I got to make myself better. If he is, he's going to be fine. If he wilts and it becomes a problem or he's pissed off or he thinks he's being picked on, okay, and he starts pouting, he's in trouble.
I think he's going to be like, wow, I finally got to experience it. It's like it's part of the Bill Belichick Patriot experience. Wow. So what was it like your first time? Well, you know, it was weird. It was a play where, you know, I wasn't even supposed to play that day. He called me out because I went the wrong way on a gap where I went left. It was crazy, man. Called me out in front of everybody.
What was your first time?
Well, you know, there was an out route and I forgot what the play was on. I forgot the snap count. So, you know, I mean, that is what it will be like. He'll have a story to tell just like everybody else.
All their courage and strength was drained right from their bodies.
That's what it'll be. It's part of.
We keep on hearing these stories where he was treated like a superstar down there in Carolina, and everybody treated him with kid gloves. And that's not going to happen here. So it's all on him because Bill's not going to change. Bill is what he is. All right.
There are going to be times where he throws a crappy pass. He misses a wide open wide receiver. He just, you know what? It's even worse. I think where the most egregious play whereas when he mismanages a situation where he doesn't, understand what needs to happen based on down and distance. That to me is usually where a quarterback will get it most, right? You know, listen, what'd you see here? Well, he was slow. Well, you know, you can't really debate him on that one. But what you can get on him is like, why didn't you kill the clock? Why didn't you get out of bounds? Why didn't you recognize how much time was left? Why didn't you realize where we were in field position because we needed to kick a field goal?
Yeah.
Like, why are we on the right hash instead of the left hash? We told you to be on the left hash.
Basically, this brings up things where there's no debate.
Yeah.
There's no debate.
Yeah.
So I'd like to apologize.
You just say I screwed up.
Yeah, I'd like to apologize to Ryan Clark because he believes that we really don't have the privilege right now to discuss how well this is going to work out with Cam and Bill.
We don't have the privilege to say how people cannot adjust to being coached or how people will or will not like being coached. So that's the first thing I think that kind of rubs me wrong there. Like, we don't know. You allow people to treat you in certain ways depending on your situation. And so, you know, I've been in situations where I'm an undrafted guy trying to get on the field where they have coaches cursing me out, challenging my character. And I was no different than I ever was in life, but I understood where I was in my career. I was aware of who I was, what I had accomplished, and the things that I wanted to accomplish going forward. So you accept those things. You take the positive coaching points from them that you can. You move on and do your job.
Well, and if Cam Newton does that, he will be fine. And what people are saying that have seen him in the past and had experience with them and understand how Bill operates, they think that's going to be an issue. They think that he's been treated like he's the king, and then suddenly when you put him into a setting like this, he's not going to handle it well. So he's the one that's going to have to grow up here.
I feel like I do have the privilege, though.
I think you do.
I feel like I feel like. Do you feel like you have the privilege, Lou? You have the privilege to critique whether someone can handle? I mean.
Oh, I'm privileged. Really?
You all. Well, you're white.
Yep. You are.
So of course you're privileged.
I know that.
But you're really not white. Thank you're kind of like an olive oil skin. You know what I mean? You got a certain kind of charm. Yes. I don't even know if I can say what type of charm.
My ancestors
you have.
Weren't.
And I don't want to talk about what type of tank tops you wear.
Guinea tees. Don't worry, I can.
So there you go.
Christian, so there you go. Fine.
Let's just
watch Cam Newton just crumble in front of our eyes. I can't wait for that moment over the Zoom. Well, hey, we heard that Bill called you out. How'd you feel about it? You know, how'd you feel? You feel like you're part of the club now? You're part of the group?
I will say this. He has been extremely silent since he landed. So he lands it at Logan, what was that, a week ago. Channel 7 is right there with the cameras in his face. And he really says nothing, all right, which was probably the best way of dealing with it. And since then, there have been very few tweets, nothing that even...
More quotes and pictures than, say, videos.
The last one I saw was...
Of him talking.
The last one I saw was an Instagram post. I think it said, "What's poppin'?"
Right.
Well, how many times can you talk about how, like, you know, unleash the lion or, you know, I'm tired of being humble. Like, okay, now you're out here. Now, okay, it's camp is starting. Okay, you know, now you just go and play, right?
Yeah,
but that was more of like a motivating thing.
I know, and the funny thing is like, so there's no games. So what are you going to say? Unleash the beast against, like, the, you know, the second string defense.
Sure.
This corner out of Eastern New Mexico Murray State. I got him today.
Felt like I was just left to die.
I mean, like, so you're going to be clapping back against scout team or scripted plays. At Gillette, like no, the opportunity for him. I don't even know what it looks like. I mean, I guess we'll see how he feels based on what he wears.
What he wears?
Yeah.
So you think he's going to change what he wears?
I think he heard Lou, because Lou is the voice of New England. He sets the tone.
It's really simple.
if he plays well, he can wear a hat.
But
he's got to wear a sweatsuit.
And then when you made fun of me, I forget what annoyed you about him. You brought up like the way he talks, or I don't know, the fact that he kneels slowly out of the.
I don't like that at all.
So you don't like that?
Yeah, I think it's,
he gets
I think
up slowly out of the huddle.
He's overselling everything.
I simply said,
act like we're trying to find, you know, make it on the, you know, 11th grade play?
I simply said, like, you know, I want to treat like his outfits kind of like Sweet Caroline. How I feel about Sweet Caroline. You know, you can go with your suits. You can walk into that stadium with a suit and a beautiful little scarf and a hat with some freaking leaf or some feather coming out of it. Okay, that's fine. If you win the game, I want the suit. I want the scarf. I want the hat with a feather. If you lose the game, I want the suit. Lose the scarf. Lose the feather. Lose the hat. Just wear the suit.
He's going to wear the same thing.
No, it's like Sweet Caroline. I want to play when you're winning. I don't want to play when you're losing.
He doesn't do that.
It's
a fashion statement. It's him. It's, you know.
Well, the kneeling thing, right. Now we find out it's like his moment to pray or something like that.
I don't know.
I mean, it's like
I would say this. He's been quiet here in the last week. You can't tell me that somebody down there in Foxborough didn't get to him and say, you know what? You want to be careful here. We do things a little bit differently.
I told him.
Okay, maybe you did. But somebody is talking to him because there is a different way that they operate. And he needs to operate the way they operate. He can't operate the way he wants to operate or the way that we hear that maybe he operated in Carolina. Not a bad guy. He seems to be a terrific guy. But that he was the superstar. He was the guy. All the attention on me. It's not going to be that way down there. But I think somebody got to him because I think he's been quiet this week. Hey, the NFL, by the way, we're 9 minutes away from the opt-out. 9 minutes away. Can feel the excitement.
I am excited.
It's New Year's Eve here. The NFL's got a real problem on their hands with COVID. We know that. And these inaccurate tests. Sidelining players, especially when the wives start getting pissed. We have a wife who is really pissed, and I think she's right to be pissed. We'll get into it and more right here on OMF. Coming up next, this hour brought to you by the Jimmy Fund.